So we pray. Heavenly Father, we sang a little chorus about the whole earth is filled with your glory, and we know that that is true, that Christ was the great glory who came forth, and the earth was filled with him and his presence, and yet nobody knew it, and very few, only the very elect, would know the kingdom of God had drawn nigh. And so today you have manifested yourself in your glory, Lord, giving the true assessment of yourself and showing who and what you are, and you men have turned that down again. And we pray, Lord, amongst us who believe this morning, and we understand this to this limited degree, that you and your faithfulness, Lord, and your marvelous ways will reveal yourself to us even more perfectly, extensively, in such depth of revelation that we will have a calmness, a quietness, and a unity with you, Lord, we have not previously had, to know our position, our source, and that oneness that Jesus himself spoke of knowing that we and you and us, and we all together, thoroughly sanctified, set apart, and ready for the kingdom of immortality. Help us to see that, Lord, and even as we study the dangers and those things that are also inherent in the world, we must take a look at to realize the differences, but above all, may we stay away from the negative and know that although we are looking at death, we have life because you are here giving us life, even though others may have death. That is not our business. Our business, Lord, is looking into life, having it, and looking into it more abundantly, having it more abundantly. May that be our portion this morning as we study, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're at number 15 in the message. Brother Branham is bringing on the Does God Change His Mind About His Word? And here again, we mentioned that this message is a vehicle for him to express his thoughts and bring to us that which is most important concerning his ministry of the presence of God, his vindication, and the true doctrine. Now, last night we were considering what is called by Scripture, and especially by Brother Branham, the two vine churches, and especially dwelling on their ministers, the true vine church and the two vine churches, rather, I should say, the two vine churches and their ministries. And these two vines absolutely have their roots and sustenance from two different sources. Now, one vine has its roots and sustenance is entirely righteous, and the other is wickedly unrighteous. And yet, according to what we see in the Word and brought out by Brother Branham in so many sermons, both apparently manifest the same Christian evidences, with the unrighteous having more numbers and even more manifestation as to gifts and fruit. And you'll find that, of course, in Hebrews, especially where it tells you that the Galatians and Hebrews, rather, where the desolate hath more children than she that hath a husband. And in Hebrews 6, you find that these people literally partake of the good word of God, taste the power of God, the power of the world to come, and they absolutely fall away and are tares for the burning. So this backs up, of course, Matthew 7 unequivocally about manifestation and fruit. And you notice over here it says in Matthew 7, Jesus speaking in verse 15, beware of false prophets. He says the same thing in Matthew 24, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, this tells you that as far as the exterior manifestation is concerned as pertaining to gifts and fruit, and every evidence that a Christian would have as far as his walk is concerned, and as far as his active faith is concerned, preaching for the kingdom, for the lost, bringing in souls, at least they feel they are, preaching deliverance, divine healing, preaching the second coming, preaching the rapture, preaching all these things, they are still ravening wolves. Which means they have one purpose which they themselves might not believe. In fact, they do not believe. But their purpose is to destroy. For the wolf cometh not but to destroy, to kill. So here Jesus is saying here that outwardly they're 100% Christian. Inwardly, they're 100% devil. See, the wolf is a beast. And it was a beast, of course, serpent in the Garden of Eden, beast of the end time. You shall know them by their fruits. Now, you understand then that this word fruit cannot have the same meaning as the word fruit in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and rights and so on. It can't mean that because it's already said these people manifest that. Otherwise, how in the world can there be sheep on the outward? You got it. Everybody sitting in this building this morning, let's say we had 5,000 more. And let's say we had the rank of heathen come amongst us. We had those that believe in reincarnation, transmigration of souls, and Taoism, and, you know, heaven knows Muslims, and they got all kinds of brands, Shiites and what have you there, you know. And, you know, just like Heinz, there's variety, 57 varieties. And you wouldn't know what's in anybody's heart if everybody sang praise unto God, even just using the name of God and rejoicing in God, fully sympathetic to the things of God, and everybody being nice and hugging each other, kissing and all. Oh, you wouldn't know what's in their hearts. And you can be thoroughly fooled by the exterior. Now, that's what Jesus is saying here. You got to get below the skin. You got to get below the wool. Why, 7 day veteran, late Dr. J. A. McMillan. Here I go again. I'll never get finished, but it's all right. The late Dr. J. A. McMillan I met, one of the greatest men of God, perhaps in the 20th century. He was a Christian Missionary Alliance man. Went to China and different places and had a great, great ministry of casting out devils. And in one particular girl was, can't remember that word, but it's actually a medical term that describes a sexual abnormality. So this was one of the major devils that was in the girl. And as McMillan called the devils out and made them to talk, it began naming cults. And there were many cults that were in the girl as evil spirits. One of them was Christian Science. Another was Seventh-day Adventism. Another Jehovah's Witness, and so on. Now, what I'm showing you here is that you just have to look beyond what's on the surface, because you could have all those people in here and we could talk about God. A bunch of them could be even devil-possessed and they could still praise God. In fact, when my wife was nursing at an institution, there's a woman who could talk about God very glibly, even could quote scripture. When they got her in her right mind, she couldn't recall anything, and she had no knowledge of Scripture and even the things she said. So, as we look at what Jesus said here, you've got to realize that you can have such a disparity between the conduct and what the nature and the real man is as to blow your mind. Well, he said, here's a perfect Christian coming up outwardly. Nothing but a devil. And he's only got one thing in mind, is to take you over and destroy you. Now, see, it blows your mind when you sit down this morning and just think about it. How in the world could somebody do that? Such a nice person. Dahmer was a nice person, too. I'm sure Marcus de Sade was a nice person, too. You really got to know him, Jack the Ripper. And these serial killers. Very nice people. Well, you walk into my parlor, said the spider to the fly. See? Now, you'll know them by their fruits. So the fruit he's talking about is a different kind of fruit than what you visualize as you think about Christians. You follow what I'm saying? Fruit that you know them by is not the fruit that you think you know them by. It's a different fruit entirely. So, all right. What is this fruit that you can get to know them by that doesn't have the trappings of Christianity or the real product of Christianity, and yet you've got a facsimile standing right there and you can't tell the difference? Well, we look at it. You shall know them by the fruit. Now watch. He's talking of men, sheep on the outside, wolves on the inside. Now he takes it to a tree. You're going to know them by the fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, what's he talking about? Prophets. So he's telling you that these people absolutely bring forth a corrupt fruit, even though they look 100% like Christians, lying right up to what you say, think the Bible says, as to evidence and to an act of faith. Now, they're going to bring forth a corrupt fruit, because every good tree can only bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree can only bring forth evil fruit. Now remember, he's still talking about prophets. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now what was the first corrupt tree in the garden? The knowledge of good and evil. So that's what you're looking at. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Now you're going to apply that to the end time, the tares for the burning. And yet the tare looks exactly like the wheat until the time of later growth and the time of the harvest. Like I told you one time here, back in Canada, we had what we call wild oats. Wild oats doesn't grow so high, pretty and green. And boy, is that prolific. You say, well, man, if a farmer could grow that, he'd have it made. But you know, when you begin looking into that oats, it's got so little bit inside of it, the cows would literally almost die on it. There's no real sustenance. There's a little bit of life in there. See? Now, it's good for burning. But the oat looks just like real oats. Wherefore by their fruit... Now notice again, wherefore by your fruits you'll know them. Now remember, he's talking about prophets. And what is a prophet? He's a man that absolutely either brings the word of God as a major prophet who is a word prophet, or he is set up in the church as a fivefold minister. And if he is, he will agree with every word that the true prophet brings, the same as Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did not agree with Moses. Yet they had all the gifts. And they were real social-minded people. They said, bless God, Moses shouldn't be the only one that's got a corner on God. Well, we got a corner on God, too. You just don't give your attention to all one man. No way, we're all in this thing as a society. They say that's a lie right there. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were of those same people, or the children of the same people who said to Moses, tell God, we don't want to see him or hear him anymore. You go and stand for us. You talk about a hypocrite. A double-minded man. A double-hearted man. You got him right here. Now, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now he's still talking about these false prophets and these people that are sheep on the outside and wolves on the inside, and they got a certain fruit. And he tells you flat that as you look at these groups of men that are on the false vine, there's no way that they're going to produce a genuine fruit. What in the world is that fruit? See? Well, the fruit has got to be the word that has been given vindicated, because that's what this treatise is all about, and it's a warning to the people. Even as Peter said, in the last days, you're going to have teachers, not a bunch of prophets, but the big thing is they're going to be teaching. You've got to watch out for it. And those teachers, where are they going to get their teaching? Right here. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works, and I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now these people are following Mark 16, the commandments of God. And in doing so, they are iniquitous. Which means they know to do better and aren't doing it. They know something and they're not lining up with it. So as Brother Branham brought to our attention, and the strange thing is just before he brought this from Matthew 7, as I realized what Brother Branham was teaching, I knew the day would have to come when he'd have to come to this very scripture and explain it the way I'm explaining it now, which he did. Because it had to be the Word. It could not be anything else. So this is what you're looking at here. Now remember, Balaam is an example of this. And he appears at the end time with Cain and Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Now, what is the answer to the question? That such is so. For both of these are anointed with one spirit that gives gifts and power and so on. And our answer lies in what Jesus Christ himself further taught in Matthew chapter 13. Now we're going to do a bunch of reading of it. But before we do, let's just read a bit here that Brother Branham said in paragraph 138. But now we find Balaam a servant of God. Now you see, there's no problem there because he set himself up to follow God. He felt an anointing. He goes right in, ordained of God. And Brother Branham says, and many of these men start out and are ordained of God and do speak God's word in many things. But when it comes to the full truth, they won't do it. Now here we find this in the 13th of Matthew. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So he went to a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell in stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprang up, and because there was no deepness of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell into good ground and brought forth good fruit, some 100, some 60, or 30-fold. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now remember, Brother Branham said the properly germatized grain that falls in the properly fertilized soil only needs the sun and the rain. It could be to all they needed was to bring forth fruit 100, 60, or 30, was to be properly germatized, which it was, and to fall into soil, which it did, and the soil had to be receptive to the seed, and the seed receptive to the soil, and the grace of God, the blessing of God, which comes through the sun and the rain, is going to bring forth a multiplication. In other words, what's in there comes to life produced as a blessing and a part of the kingdom of God. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said, why speakest unto them in parables? He answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even away that which he hath. So if you're the wrong soil, you just lose out, period. There's no way you're going to make it. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In other words, seeing and hearing doesn't do any good because there's nothing there to receive it. See, they're like Sojourner Truth, the black lady from many, I think maybe you've read of her history in America. She was a freed slave, and she came north, and she was lecturing. I think she went to Harvard. And as she lectured, she began to get heckled by a guy on the road. And he said, honey, I'd have told you something, but I see you ain't got nothing to receive it. It's exactly. She was 100% right. And that, I don't think he even felt it. You know, you could squelch some people. They don't know they're squelched. I don't imagine anybody from Harvard would have got it. Or Princeton Seminary either. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with the heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now there again, you've got the two people separated. You've got one people that can and one people that can't. That's why you find that Paul takes up the same argument and he uses what you might call an interjection by somebody stopping his dissertation, saying, well, why does God yet find fault? Said, who are you, O man, to reply against God? See, you're looking at the predestinated working of Almighty God. Blessed are your eyes, for they see yours here. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see, have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony place, the same as he that hears the word, and with joy receives it, yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution riseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, Brother Branham said that's like the man casting the net. And in the net, there's going to be literal good fish, and there's going to be crabs and crawdads and lobsters and things. And he said, but they're not fish. And he said, after they get up out of the water, pretty soon they start grumbling and complaining, and they go off to where they came from. Just like the chicken in the pen, the God out goes back, and the rabbit, looking for the hole they got out of. See, they couldn't take the pressure. Now remember, the pressure is concerning the word, because it's the word that is being sown. So the thing is, can you take the word and can you stay with it until it comes to maturity? And I showed you last night how men that I know have gone back to Pentecost. They couldn't take the heat. Now the solid rock takes the heat. It takes the cold. It takes anything, because it doesn't respond to feelings. See, it's locked in. And that's what you're looking at. So your rejoicing and your praise unto God is something different from what the average person knows about. This is, has to do with the word. Now, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So he's gone. See? In other words, nothing comes out. What would come out? If this man was the right man, he would measure his mouth with the word of God. You see what I'm saying out of this here? These other people never get so far as to discuss the word. It doesn't have any real place in their lives. They can talk about gifts, they can have gifts, they can even get a lot of answers to prayer and things. But when it comes to the word, it just isn't there, because the soil isn't there. Now, see, there's a specialness about the clay. Out of one lump, God makes the vessels ordained to wrath and the vessels ordained to glory. Now, it was the same ground that Adam came out of that the serpent came out of. But you think for one minute the serpent's going to be in the resurrection? Don't you believe it. Same ground. But you see, there's a different life in it. One was serpent-like. That's how the serpent got in. That's how life was mutilated and destroyed. That's how Eve caused that great interruption. You see, now Brother Branham warned us that people will leave this message, not the preachers, but the church, but the people in the pews, have a propensity to leave the message because of the cares of this life. And remember, the cares of this life are what? The deceitfulness of riches will choke the word. Now, this is Laodicea, increased in goods and don't lack a thing. And pretty soon you're going to see the ultimate when the time comes when the Jews and the Catholics get together with the paper and the gold. They're looking for a strong man now to rule the world. Why do you think that Mr. Bush is out there beating his gums out in the world and doesn't care 2 cents about you and me here? Now, his wife gets very mad when you say that's not true, but it is true. Because he knows he's got one thing in mind, world leadership, which
God put in there, and the devil's using it. Bush knows there's got to be one world. Now, what's the quickest way to get it? The quickest way to get it is by the Pope, who says, I'm not spiritual, I'm moral. He tells you right there that he's not interested in the cosmos of God. He's interested in the cosmos of this world, which is the devil, because he got it fair and square from Adam and Eve. Adam knew exactly what he was doing when he sold out. The Bible distinctly said Adam was not in the transgression. He was not deceived. In other words, that wasn't his transgression. His transgression was absolutely what you might call selling out the nation, betraying it. Like it says at the end time, there's going to be people that are they're not true. They're betrayers. So, all right. The Pope says, I am moral. But he's using effectively the kingdom of God, calling himself the vicar of Christ. And he's already in idolatry, Mariolatry. And Bush and everybody runs to him. Because they know positively there's got to be a world leader. Now listen, who was the man that discussed this before you ever heard of the Catholics doing it? Although they have in their minds, don't worry. Because that vicar goes back there. The Jews had it. Gillette was the man that said there must be a world system to distribute the goods. I told you about it. He said if the post office can work, then anything can work internationally. He had it all figured out. That's why you got people so confused. They want to kill every Jew. They hate the Jews. Quit hating the Jew. He's going to be in tougher shape than you. Because he's got the paper. All we got is paper. Rome's got the gold. But let's face it. What if you're on the desert? Remember Aesop's fable years and years ago? There was this poor old Arabian on the desert. And his camel had bucked him off. And all he had left was a little bit of food and a bottle of water. And he was crawling along. The water all gone out now. And as he goes crawling on the desert, he sees a mound of dust and what have you. And looks like, hey, there's something in there. I wonder what it is. And it was a water bottle. And he said, great, it'll be water. And he opened the bottle and out poured jewels worth millions of dollars. The guy died. What good's your money if you haven't got something that you can eat? If you had 40 pounds of food between you and death, and you're the only person left except the guy next door to you, and he was a multi-billionaire, would you give your 40 pounds of food to that multi-billionaire for his billions? Well, I fun you would. What would you do with his money? So what I'm trying to show you is this. There's got to be a scheme worked out whereby commerce flows effectively throughout the world. And that's exactly what Bush is into and everybody else. The Pope's into it. See? Now, riches. Laodicean age is rich. Desperately rich. And yet, as the Bible said, you don't know you're wretched. The word wretched means you're a beggar bumming on the street. Here's America. What is it? 4% of the population controls over 25% of the entire wealth of the nation. And Mr. Bush's budget is still not going to soak the rich. So I'll vote Democrat. Do you think that bunch of hoodlums is going to soak the rich? No way, because they're rich. The system's got to break. I mean, what am I talking about? I'm trying to warn us. Don't get caught up in this hour with either politics or finances or anything, because it's that word that counts. And whether you store it in your heart, you're one with it or not. See? Numbers don't matter. But he that received seed, he was the good ground. He hears the word. He understands it. He bears fruit. What's he going to do? He's going to give the word forth. His brother Branham said, what does the woman do that's married for her husband? She ministers to him what he gave to her. You bring home a nice roast, the wife cooks it. Got lots of good cooks here. I really appreciate you gals. You say, well, Brother Vane, you talk from your stomach. No, I don't eat so much anymore, and I don't even eat so much meat anymore. I could change my diet and be a vegetarian carrot, you know, be Bugs Bunny, without too much trouble. I just appreciate people that minister what their husbands bring home. They're supposed to. That's the flip side of the record we're looking at now, not just the man's side all the time. The woman, Brother Brand, said she ministers what he gives her. What did God give us? This word. That's why I said, let it make a little frontless before your eyes, a little tiny box. And you put a band on it, and you put the word in it. And as you walk, go boing, 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 make you think of the word. And you put them in your wrist here. Every time you move your hand, go boing, 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 think of the word. In other words, the whole life is consecrated to the word. And decisions are made upon the basis of the word when the word has been made clear. Like I told you about those guys, it was written down in the book already. You shall not work on the Sabbath day. Don't you gather any sticks. Don't you cook any food. You get everything done on the day before the weekend. And then on that day, all you do is eat. Hey, that's great. You know that what that does for you? It gives you real serenity. You're going to read on the day you're free. I remember years ago when I was going to school. If on every Friday night, when everybody else run around, you know, the old Friday night, Saturday night, ding, dong, 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 I stayed home and did my homework. Lord, did I do homework. Sometimes 4 hours at a crack. I love mathematics. I could get up at 2 a.m. and do mathematics and then go to bed and dream the answer. That's true. Analytical geometry. Things like just wait and the old bean was so saturated. That happened once. It happened once. It happened again. No problem. But listen. When I did what was right on Friday, Saturday and Sunday was a shoo-in. But when I boondoggled and fooled around, the nerves began to move in. Now, Brooks doesn't know a thing about this because he studies hard. I catch him at the office working, but I don't say I'm lazy. I depend on the gift. I'm so nervous up here most of the time, it's pitiful. When I settle down to study, I feel great. When I know I'm hitting the thing right, I feel great. If I see something moving in, my nerves get very rattly. So I'm trying to show you something here. These people bring forth 30, 60, and 100 because of understanding and they're handling the word. Now the point is this. 30, 60, and 100 is marvelous in contradistinction to zero. Because the Bible says that these people retain what they have. And the other even loses what he has. For to him that hath shall be given, and to him that hath not. And we're talking about this. Even that which he has should be taken away. The same scriptures also say, if your light become darkness, how great is that darkness? That's why, hey, if you go back on this word, where are you going to go? I'll tell you, you're going to go plumb to hell without any stops. I got a right to say that because we're at the white throne. Don't kid yourself. And yet we can be the happiest, relaxed people in the world. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last. And hush the dreadful wail and fury of the blast is o'er the distant hill. The light advances fast. Our Comforter has come. There he is right there. Yes, there's a big difference, brother, sister, knowing the truth. Another parable put he forth unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like the man which sowed good seed in his field. While his enemy slept, the man slept, his enemy sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. Now watch this. This all has to do with these two vine churches. The true vine and the false vine. The wicked and the righteous. And they're growing side by side. And there's a razor blade difference between the two. And you cannot tell them apart by observation. The only way you can tell them apart is by listening. Yeah? Okay. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares and went their way. And when the blade went his way, beg your pardon. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. See, right afterwards, bang, bang, they're right up there in the garden. So the servants of the householder came and said, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? For whence hath it tares? He said, An enemy hath done this. Hey, can you tell serpent seed from a real human being? If you'd have been there the day that Noah and seven more people entered the ark, could you have told, without being told, that Noah was the only true human being left on earth? Since that time, there's been no true human beings physically. Say, man, is that where I got my looks from? Yes, sir, you sure did. Is that where all this sinful nature comes from? Good percentage. How are you going to tell? Out of one lump. Sarah has two children. Not one. It's Rebecca has two. Two offspring twins. One God loved, one God hated. One out of the kingdom, one part of the kingdom. Now, wilt thou then have us go and pick them up by the roots and throw them in the dump heap? Let them die? No. Don't do that. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also root up the wheat. Okay. You see why I always quote Brother Branham, not by what he quoted, but what I watched? He just preached the word and stood back and watched it. All these preachers that love to ride herd on the people and make merchandise on them. The Roman Catholic spirit. Now, why did the Pope and all the Catholics have to call upon Mary? Jesus won't have a thing to do with them. But he's not their intercessor. Look at the billboards around Dayton here. Come on, go down, what is it, 201? Lloyd, you've been going down there recently, 201? Have you seen a signboard out there? I'm sure it's on 201. Yes, it says, Mary, a picture of the Virgin Mary from Mugajord, or Chordamug, or whatever, Mugajord, over there in Czechoslovakia. And it says, she has come down to, we've heard from her, and she said, God loves you. Well, the sign might be there for me and you. But you can't put that across the world and say, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, because there's two worlds. One is the world of the ungodly, which perishes. And the other is the world of the godly that doesn't perish, because the righteous judge of all the earth will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Not even one. All right. Don't you root them up. Stand back and watch. Now what? Let them grow to the harvest. At the harvest, they truly manifest what they are, even though you can't just tell by looking at them. But they will be, he said at the harvest time, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. That's exactly what we read here. Now, you will notice that this is identical to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul is talking to the people. He called in the elders. And he says in verse 26, I take you therefore to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all, not men, but everybody. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, in other words, he laid everything out that they needed. And Brother Branham categorically said under vindication, you have everything under the seven seals to put you in the rapture. Now, he never said Pentecostal gifts of the Spirit and all these other things and doing good works. He said under those seals, which were mysteries in the Word of God, which corrected the doctrine, expose the error, reveal the truth, and explain those things which are not formally known from before the foundation of the world, because it was in time. We have everything to put us into the rapture. So what do you do? You stand back and you watch where the word's going, what the people are doing with it, whether they receive it or not. Listen. Take heed therefore unto yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which hath purchased with his own blood. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Who are those grievous wolves? The same one that Jesus spoke of. The wolves in sheep clothing. Huh? Why, people come in here drunk and cussing everything else. You wouldn't have any trouble booting them out. But if they come in here nodding, say, hey, they're one of us. Oh, yeah? Talk to them. Give them the word test, Brother Branham said. Don't give them the wool test. Why, they can out-wool you any day. Give them the word test. You know, there's no secret. Now watch. Also of your own self shall men arise speaking perverse things. Speaking what? The perverted word. Because that's what Paul is talking about. I've given you the real word. Vindicated. I've explained it. You know it. I want to warn you. Men are going to come in here that look and act just like you. And of those that already are in here and act just like you, they're going to rise up and change what I have said. And he said that to the Corinthian people in the second book of the 11th chapter. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Now, what did Brother Branham do? He warned to such an extent that people thought he was always like one friend of mine who's dead now. He said, Brother Bell, I don't understand it. You believe in Brother Branham? Hold on, man. Give us a chance and breathe. Hey, look. If you need a swift kick to keep you out of a bear trap and keep your neck from stretching on the gallows, a swift kick is a delightful and sweet proposition. And Brother Branham was doing nothing less than Paul. He said, for 3 years I did nothing but warn, raise my voice, and continue to take the word of God to you. And now, brethren, there's only one thing I can do. I'm leaving. What does he do when he leaves? I commend you to God and the word of his grace. No word, no grace. Wrong word, no grace. Right word only brings grace. Then Paul stands back and looks at it and says, what's going on? I don't care what. I can't handle it. I leave you to God. Now, it wasn't hard to learn from Brother Branham. He just preached the word and stood back and watched it because I watched him. He never tried to sell anybody anything. If a man made a little move, oh, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. Don't try to shove him. Just encourage him. Tell him something again. Stand back and watch it. Okay, turn your tape. This is the same now as in Matthew, the 3rd chapter. And here's what John introduced Jesus as. Let's get this straight. Matthew 3:10. Now is the axe laid to the root of all of the trees. Therefore every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Hey, what fruit? Word. See, and Jesus said they don't hear, they don't see, they don't understand. And in hearing and seeing means understanding. These people didn't get it. So you've learned a principle this morning. When you hear these words, you know he's talking to a revelation. Or of a revelation. Now, he said the tree that doesn't bring forth the right fruit is hewn down. That means nobody but nobody outside of this message, if it is the message, and I don't care what anybody says, hey, you can go to heaven, you can go to hell, and I can go to heaven, I can go to hell, there's no purgatory. That's got nothing to do with it. It's these words here. Are they correct? If they are correct, then there is a word people. And the word people only make it. And if we're not word people, there's somebody up there that's got to be, or God's word's a lie. Because he said, I stand behind my word to perform it. Another place he said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it'll accomplish whereunto I sent it. So that means that there's nothing that Jesus did himself as being a person in the atoning program and work of God, or nothing that God ever did that's going to fall and remain fallen, because everything comes under restoration. Now the word is restored. We're waiting for the millennium. But you're not going to get people to believe that. They've got their own idea. So let them have it. All right, he says here, I indeed baptize with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now watch. Whose fan is in his hand, and thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat in the garner, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now listen, it tells you right there at the end time, there's a true baptism with the Holy Ghost, as Brother Branham said. And what is that true baptism? The true baptism is piling word upon word until you're no longer lukewarm, until you're no longer cold, until you're red hot with this word. You follow what I'm saying? So I know people don't like, Brother Bill, let's get running and jumping. You listen, I'm, well, as Bob said, I'm an antique. I can't afford to run and jump. I'd only fall down in the midst of you. But I'm going to rise again with this word, though. You do all the running and jumping you want. That's your business. If you're young enough and foolish enough, you get to the place, get my age, you've got to stand back and watch, because that's all you can do. But better late than never. Better learn than some will never learn. My brother Vance, they run around the world trying to evangelize this and do this and the other thing. What good does it do them? Hey, they weren't called in the first place. Now, his fan's in his hand, he thoroughly purges forth and gathers his wheat in the garner, but burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, how do you know you got the Holy Ghost? You can only know if you are that kind of a tree that's planted by the waters of life. Today, it's Jacob, it's Ezekiel's river. Waters came to the ankles, came to the knees, came to the groin. Waters to swim in, waters to pass over. Like a flood of the Holy Ghost coming. But I'm going to tell you one thing when it comes, as it has in the end time, there are going to be those that aren't set on fire and purged and cleansed out by the living word of God. They're going to still go with their own creeds and their old dogmas, and they're going to be burnt as a chaff for the burning. And remember, the end time is chaff, and a vindicated prophet of God traced the history of the church and showed where the grain came up underneath of the little sprouts, stems. Then it went on to the age where it formed and it began to pollinate and spread out. Then the last time was the chaff, and in the chaff was the light. And the chaff burns. Now that's the Pentecostal age. Justification, sanctification, baptism, but all in air. They've all gone down the drain, see? All right. With that, we go to Matthew 13. Now, if I read that or not, all of it. If I did, I'm finished reading it. If I'm not, I've got to read some more. Okay, Matthew 13. And I'm not finished. So we go to 44 to 50. Now watch, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, which when a man hath found, he hides it, and for joy thereof goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Now that's real excitement. Now that's real emotion. Now that's really putting it on. Because Jesus said that's the kind of people we are. You find the treasure. You say, hey, 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 hey. Nobody's going to get this. I'm getting it. Every man pressing in. What are you pressing in? Creeds and dogmas? You're pressing the word. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost conduit? It's the word. How are you going to get this comfort in these things at the end day without the word of God? It simply cannot be done. Let's read again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What did the devil give up for his kingdom? Nothing. He gave us up. Made us pawns. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a net. Now watch. It was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind. And when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good to vessels and cast the bad away. Now what's he telling you here? The same thing that Brother Branham has said. The two vines. And at the end time, they mix all together in a world ecumenical system. Christ is on the outside, and he begins calling a bride out. Everything else burns, even the foolish virgin. And they are foreknown and elected and predestinated. The same as the Jews under the fifth seal. But they're counted with the unrighteous and wicked in their death. But at the glorious white throne, they're allowed to come in. So we understand that. We're at the 50th verse. Yes. And so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels, the messengers shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just. Brother Branham stood there, and something touched his hand, and he looked up and it was a sword. Well, he said, what is that? Why, he said, that's real sharp. It's got a feather edge on it. I'm afraid of those things. They cut. And a voice thundered down, it's the sword of the King. And he said, there's only one the King. And that's God, who is the Word. And then he cried out in prophecy, it's the sword of the King, given to him to dress a bride. How do you dress a bride with the sword? Well, he thought himself, maybe tonight he unite with a little dubbing somebody. Sir Knight, I dub you over the head with the flat of the sword. He thought maybe some little program God had worked out for him or do something. And his own voice brought forth the words. The sword of the King. The word of God lying there. That sword, the dress of bride. So that's the end time. The sanctification by the word that puts us unique. Like in the time of Moses to take us into the promised land. See, now watch. The sword severs. And proved he had the sword was Hebrews, the 4th chapter, 12, where the word of God is sharper than quicker than a two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, and you couldn't hide if you tried. So everything is laid out for the end time. No wonder I want to preach the word, never mind anything else, and laid out before. Why should I preach anything else? I know people might get tired and say, Brother Dale, you should take this subject, that subject. Well, if you want to, you do it. No problem. I won't come and listen to you. I won't be near you. I don't need it. I know what to do, what's right and wrong. I don't believe there's anybody over 5 years this morning who doesn't know what's right from wrong in this church. But to really know that revealed word's another thing. That's where the fruit God's looking for, whether you believe it or not. I've combed it through Scripture the way the prophet has. Brought out even more Scripture than the prophet has, because that's our job to do these things. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter. Well, we've read it so many times, I don't need to read it again. But it tells you right there in 2 Peter, as there were these false prophets, now you're going to have a bunch of false teachers. And it doesn't mean there's going to be no false prophets. It's going to mean it's going to go to teaching. Because none of their ministries can touch Brother Branham. But they say, look, we've got these gifts. God hears our prayers. We've got these manifestations. Hey, we must have something. You listen to us. And what does the Bible say? It says, for when they speak swelling words of vanity, great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. What are these men overcome of? A false word. Then if they're overcome by a false word, we are overcome by a real word. Well, we don't want to believe that. No, go up there and say, oh, they're overcome by a false word. What about you? Oh, no, I'm not too. You meant stupid. And I'm pointing at myself. How can a man be so ignorant? Two vines. One can look just like the other ought to. True Christian. Outwork him like the donkey outworks the horse. Show more love than as the Christian Science, the New Ager, and all the rest of them. As a kind old priest made Jesus look like a renegade. But you notice Paul and Jesus, neither one, stood up for themselves. They only stood up for the Word. That's where the call is, brother, sister. When Brother Branham preached end-time evangelism, he didn't tell you just go up and preach any old thing. He nailed it down. And that's exactly the word of Almighty God. All right. Let's go on. Paragraph 139. Notice here is a prophet of God. He should not have been caught in such a group as that to begin with. He shouldn't have gone with them, but watch, for popularity's sake, see, for his conscience sake, he said, well, stay all night, and I'll try again. Now, I already quoted, but didn't take you to it, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 36. What came the word of God out from you, or came unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let it acknowledge that the things that I write and nobody else are the commandments of the Lord. Now, this man here prophesied, and was a prophet, on the base of a prophetic gift. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we know He is. Moses, at the time of Balaam, was the only true mouthpiece for God, and had the true word. Paul, in his day, was identical. And Brother Branham said, see, Lee, we haven't had the pillar of fire from Moses for 2,000 years from the time, since the Apostle Paul till now. Putting himself with Moses and with Paul in the unique structure God in three, where this same thing obtains. It's in here. So, he said, if you are a genuine prophet, not a phony baloney, and even if you are just a phony baloney prophet, Brother Branham talks of him using a phony text out of the Bible. In other words, deliberately messing with it. He said, you'll admit that what I say is the truth. But what did this man Balaam do? And we're talking about today. Not yesterday, we're talking about now. What's going on? And we see it more and more. And what is going on now? These people have joined themselves for popularity's sake and for conscience' sake. Now watch this. You've got people who no more understand and believe the presence of nothing and are backing away from this word, but because of their conscience and they know something was real there, they'll keep talking about it. Yeah. But to really go with it, stand back and watch it, to be a part of that rock. And that's not the cotton-picking Prudential either. That's not even Gibraltar. And it's not Plymouth. It's the rock of revelation. Stand back. Have I got the right revelation? There's only one way you and I will know, brother, sister, and that pretty soon the dead come out of the ground. And when they come out of the ground, if we see them, we know we're right. If we don't see them, well, how are you going to make God take you in? If I told you I didn't want to see your face again, wouldn't let you in my door, you came knocking my door, I said, I told you I didn't want to see you, buzz off. You say, Brother Bailey, you wouldn't. Why didn't you try it sometime? Are you kidding? I would tell you, beat it. Why should I plague myself with you? If you've caused me so much trouble that was absolutely not scriptural, you were so proud, so stuck up, that you could pull deals like I'm thinking of, I would not let you in my house. Why should I? My Bible says you don't even sit down and eat with people like that. Huh. I know people get a little disgusted because I say those things that people do. The Bible says you don't even, it's a shame to talk about those things which are done by them in secret, and most of those are abusive and sexual, but it's not done in secret. See the opening. My brother Brand said Billy Graham had to take his wife out of the park in London because men and women on the grounds out there were committing adultery. It's not done in secret. Neither was this done in secret. Neither was Paul in secret. Neither was Christ in secret. Neither was Moses in secret. Neither were the blasphemers in secret. Ha! Their secrecy is a snide secrecy. Come over here, I've got the anointing and the truth. Well, I've just prophesied and I've seen this great thing happen. Like I told you, old Charlie Fetter up there in Pennsylvania wanted to sell his his motel. And this fellow, Fred Tom from Africa, Bob Tom from Africa, came by. And he prophesied, and the thing sold, like he said. And Fetter was so taken up, I said, hold it, Charlie, hold it. I want to ask you a question. I said, did this man's prophecy make this thing come to pass? Or was God going to do it anyway and just let the guy in on the secret? He said, oh. I was one of his best friends, but he didn't know it. Because I didn't make Brother Branham Jesus Christ and fall at his feet and worship him as God. And then Charlie and I, we just went different directions. Hey, I'd sooner trust Jesus than a man. But when God vindicates the man, that's a different story. I'm not listening to man, I'm listening to God. You can say what you want, but I just said what I want. There it is. For popularity's sake, for conscience sake. What are you going to do with that? Oh, now they're getting bold. Now, William Branham was a devil. Oh, yes, said a woman. William Branham, he believed in abortion. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, sure. And in birth control, because you see, he said positively, the baby in the womb was nothing kicking, jerking muscles and nerves until it came forth and the spirit came in. But she didn't quote that part of it. I should have taken down the notes where that gal was and just combed her hair for her, but I didn't. There again, let's stand back and watch the Word. I'm not her judge. She's already judged. You know you're already judged this morning? Come on. You might as well relax, Jack. You either miss the ark or you're going into one of the... What are you going to do about it? Well, I don't figure anybody here has missed it to this point where you wouldn't be here this morning. I really believe that. Now, Balaam said, see, I'll try again. What do you want to try again for? God already told him what to say, and God said, tell them they're not going. You're not going. That's his original word. I'm not going. And don't you go. Don't you curse what I bless. Now watch how it backfired on him after a while. See? And it will every time. When God says anything, he means it. He doesn't change his mind about it. He stays right with his word. No matter what anyone else says, he stays with his word. Now, we're talking here about the word as Rhema Logos in contradistinction to personal orders. But when you're dealing with the Word of God, you know that God is going to give you personal orders, contingent, and 100% identified and in unity with that Word. Yeah. And what was the original word? I've got blessing for Israel. Now, Balaam, you're right. There is blessing and cursing, because when I come on the scene, I come with two hands. On my right hand is blessing, on my left hand is cursing. On my right hand is a sheep, on the left hand is a goat. I make a separation. Balaam, you're right. But I'm telling you something, don't bother to go. Because you got in your mind by that king that you can curse him. You can't curse them because I've blessed them. Now, shut up and stay home. Now, God couldn't possibly give a command which demanded an act of faith contrary to his word. So he said, stay here. But the guy didn't do it. He just went on down the road and it backfired. Now, Balaam should have known better. He should have dismissed himself from such company. But all these nice gifts and a promise that this king said, you know, I can make you a bishop because I can do it. I can do just for you whatever I want to. And I'll promote you if you'll come to do it for me. Now, actually, Brother Brown is talking about today's preachers. Come on out. Leave them. Oh, no, we're going to promote these guys. Now, listen. When Constantine became the patron of the church, he actually was its head. And world cosmos now headed up spiritual cosmos. He did not intrude into the office. He bought his way in. And the church gave him his way because of his money. Truly, he, like Balaam and Pharaoh, were the true pastors of the church. Same as in America. No Bible, no prayer. Everything goes. Can't correct your kids. You got nothing left. Let me tell you something. They can close this church down tomorrow. They might do it before tonight. They can put us all in jail. There's nothing we can do about it. They can frame us. And they'll have no problem doing it. And the head of the church today is the world cosmos government. And a pope has sold out with the Protestants to give them what they want. Men who call themselves born-again Christians in Ohio, the legislature, in Congress, I don't care whether they were senators or representatives, what they were, they'd stand up and they'd say, "We're Christians born again, hallelujah," and stand right there and tell you they agree that prayer should not be in the church, in the schools, that the Bible should not be there. And they'll agree with the same junk that Magic Johnson is preaching. Dying of venereal disease, and tell the kids, "Well, it's okay, just be careful." Why don't you hand their 3-year-old kids a razor blade and say, "Hey, they're going to be like the Mohammedan then." He said, "If you draw the flat edge of the cleaver across the child's throat, it'll cure the croup or a disease." And he drew the sharp end, and they threw him in prison. I'm going to kill him or not for it. I guess he got off. But he drew the sharp end and slit the kid's throat. That's what you get. That's what the world's going to get. The world church is going to end up completely messed. Oh, they're after us before it's over. You watch. The squeeze in my books hasn't really come down. There's some people think the squeeze is on. Maybe it is. If it is, just give me 1,000 more years in good health. Providing we have the same income and a few things like that. You say, "What are you talking about? Nobody's bugging me because of what I believe to this point." Nobody's bothering us. We're out here by ourselves. And God said unto him, told him, "Don't do it." Yet Balaam said, "Well, you stay all night, I'll try again." See, he had the word. You don't have to argue any more about it. God's done said so. With a group like that, they always talk you out of the will of God if you let them. You know what it is, danger, why it is danger of preachers to come together? The first thing when they come together, they're going to know positively they can't stand back with clubs and force each other to believe what each other believes. So they got to start compromising. And they'll talk about love. And they'll put the dirt under the rug. Now, let's all be nice. Now, I know, Brother Bale, you don't believe in two souls, but this Mr. Jones who has his girlfriends and his double wives, his polygamy and all his filth and his lies and his whoremongering, well, you know, we all want to be brothers. Well, just count me out, because I get nauseated in the morning without eating, and if I sat with him, I just, you know, why just disturb my soul? Here's another guy, he doesn't believe in that, believes in something else. He believes that the word is in the bride. Now she's going to speak great things and do great things. The prophet said, "Forget it, you've seen it." When he said, "If my hand does it, the body does it." And Christ manifests in the bride. The Son of Man manifested flesh is the bride in every age. And Brother Branham did the manifesting. And he griped and he said, "Why do you want to grab the ball when I'm carrying it?" Paul said the same thing. Jesus said the same thing. So I suppose if these guys say, "Well, we're going to be great guys." Fact. Let them live 150 years, they still won't have what I had back there in Pentecost. I don't believe it. I don't believe they'll get it. I discerned like a house of fire, prayed for six, stand right back. If you didn't get out of your chair, scripture, they took a 4x4 and butt your butt out. And I mean right now. Get up! God said so. Not Lee Dale God, but the Word said so. So why'd you do it now? That wasn't my calling in the first place. Everybody's in prison, prays for sick. No man's a jack of all trade and does it all. God says members in the body. I know what I am, vindicated. Not by myself, but by the prophet. I teach. Not very good. He said a very little gift. I agree, but little gift better than no gift. Wouldn't you soon have a little food than no food? A little water than no water? So you get a little gift. That gives you trouble as it is. Gives me trouble too. Don't let it bug you. Just keep calling on God. Yeah, preachers. Brother Brand said, "You want to get in this, just get a bunch of preachers around you." I said, "Amen and amen." There was one group that came to a prophet one time named Job, and they couldn't talk him out of it. Why, he'd seen the vision. He knew it was right. They said, "Job, there's something wrong." He said, "Ain't nothing wrong." He said, "Not a thing. And if I die, it's okay. I'm still going to see him in my flesh." You couldn't talk him out of it. Balaam saw the vision and still didn't stay with it. No matter how much these church groups said, "Oh, Job, you ought to do this. You ought to do that." Even his wife said, "You talk like a foolish person." "I know what the Lord said. I know what's required. And that's what I've done." He stayed with what God told him, which was what? Perform the sacrifices. Identify yourself with the shed blood and for your children. And Brother Branham said he gets those kids back in the millennium because the sacrifice proved out. God accepted the blood. God accepted this man based upon the word. If he'd have left that word, the sacrifice would have meant nothing. No. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins if you trample underfoot the word of the covenant. Can't do it, see? Oh, yeah. Well, we got to quit here because then next time, whenever we get back, we'll talk about using phony scripture. There's no scripture that's phony. It's people make it phony. They make it say what they want to make it say. Now, these people are gifted men. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They've got gifts. They can prophesy. They can just go right down the Bible. They preach a lot of it. They neglect most of a lot of it. They're off the word. One word on. Off. Just you're finished. One word too little. One word too much. Forget it. One misinterpretation. Forget it. Out of context. Forget it. You got it right today? It's separating time. And you know what it is? It's time to stop wondering. Am I one or aren't I? Now let's face it, this morning, after last night, after I've talked, there's no room for anybody to wonder who and what they are. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil will do his dead level best from this time on to make you wonder like he's been trying to make you wonder all along. This day, now listen, we're closing. This day, you have the challenge of life or death. Choose. What do you choose this morning? He's got two hands, left hand or right. Where do you choose to stand? Where do you choose to stand? Where do you choose to stand? You see, it's on your shoulders this morning. It's on mine. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't obscure things. In him is all light and no darkness. The evening light has come. Now what about your decision? I'll take my stand with a vindicated word, brother, because that's all I know. Now how deep is my stand depends on my dedication and my determination. How I give back to God and water what he gave me. See? Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your kind mercy and love that you've been giving us your word this morning by way of a vindicated prophet, because we know that he was vindicated. Questions could arise as to how far he was vindicated. Well, he's absolutely vindicated according to what we understand by Scripture. He came before he brought the word. He came knowing who he was and who you were and came right to us with vindication, which we appreciate. And we believe, therefore, we have heard the revealed truth of this hour. And the demarcation is set in, the sword is severed, judgment is here, life and death are here, and by your grace, which is truth, they go together. We have our stand with life and grace and truth and immortality, God himself, millennium, the new Jerusalem, and eternity of eternities. Now, Lord, you warned us the devil will try to snatch it out of our hearts, but he won't snatch it out of the heart of the elect because they're in the Father's hand. And you know the hearts, and you turn the hearts whithersoever you will, like the rivers of water. Nailed up to God. Hedged around. And we appreciate it. Lord, fix our minds this morning. Or should I say rather, we, by your help, will fix our minds, O God, in faith in thee, and dwell in the peace of this hour, and the contentment, the relaxation that is ours because the long, long night is past. Our morning Christ has dawned upon us at last. Hushed all the cries and screams of doubt and terror within us. They're gone. It's past. Because you, who will rule on Zion's hill, have come down to set the church in order. Put all things under the feet of Jesus. And bring us in safely to that haven of rest. May not one of us this morning have any further doubts of any description. Help us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, may this be so. And may that sweet spirit in the midst heal the sick amongst us. And touch us for your glory. And give us that rock faith that doesn't bend to sight, to ear, or to feelings, but relies solely, 100%, upon the revelation of our God. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all honor and power and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You love Him this morning? You have every reason to love Him. When He said, you're supposed to love Me, you can see, my, He gave us every reason to love Him and to walk with Him as we know the prophet did as our example. And one day we're just going to keep on walking into that which lies ahead. Take the name of Jesus with you.